Well, amen. Did you know this past week that Brother Pastor Al Ray celebrated 23 years of service here at Second Baptist Church? Now that you've clapped for Carrie, the rest of you appreciate Brother Al Ray. So the other side of that is that Miss Carrie has obviously served alongside him all of these years, and we are grateful to you, Miss Carrie. She also received an incredible honor yesterday. I'm going to try to get it right. The Choral Distinguished Director of the Year for the state of Arkansas. Is that right? I don't know if I got it right. Okay. All right. I've been trying all morning to get it right. So anyway, looking back, making sure. So anyway, so incredible honor. We're so thankful for y'all. You know, Brother Al Ray has been so faithful through the years. But then also, our church is incredibly blessed to have Miss Carrie, who plays, and our other musicians as well. I'm so grateful for them and thankful for them. The other thing I want to say to you before we begin is I am very proud, very thankful for our church. This past week, we had the privilege to host the one-day interest banquet. Acts 1 Day is coming in October later this year, and we had an interest banquet trying to gather as many leaders as we could, recruit as many leaders for that. There's still plenty of opportunities to be involved. There's still plenty of opportunities for leadership. You're going to hear a lot about this between now and October. But nonetheless, we hosted that here. We had approximately 250 here, people from all over our association, people from our state convention. And several of those folks who came told me specifically to brag on you this morning that you did such an incredible job hosting. It was incredible. So many of you worked many long hours to make it possible. You cooked, you provided, you were here. And so I just want to say as your pastor, thank you so much. And so many people just said an encouraging word. Even this morning, I got another text just bragging on how well you did. And so just thank you so much for that act of service and kindness, and it was a blessing. We had a lot of people here. We had a lot of commitments. The state convention was blown away by how much response we had, and so we're going to continue to work on preparing for that, and you're going to be hearing from some of us just in preparation for those things, so thank you so much for that. If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Jonah. Turn to the book of Jonah. I am grateful that my brother Scott and his wife Elizabeth and their daughter Taylor are here this morning, and so I appreciate them coming. And Taylor's my favorite niece. Just don't tell my others I said that, okay? I'm grateful they're here. Miss Reba met them this morning and then walked up to me, Scott, and said, "All right, which ones of you is adopted?" I said, "I've been blamed my whole life. I've been told that my whole life." So it may be true, but Jonah chapter four. We're going to continue to walk through this book, and hopefully, Lord willing, finish it this morning. But just chapter by chapter, we've taken chunks here, and we've talked about that God is pursuing. He's in pursuit of us. He is in pursuit of the prophet. He was in pursuit of Jonah and his obedience and wanting to use him. He was in pursuit of Nineveh, and he's in pursuit of just that prophet being obedient to go and deliver this message. And then this morning, we're going to look at this message, and I've titled it Pursuit, the Prophet's Heart. Because at first, he's after the people, and he wants Jonah to be a part of that. And then Jonah runs, and then in that running, he's still even the fishermen. He's using that to draw them to himself. And then God prepares this fish, and Jonah gets right, at least seemingly, confesses his sin, says, "I'm ready to be obedient, I'm ready to fulfill my vow and be the man of God you called me to be." And then in chapter 3, Jonah goes, and he's obedient. And we talked about last week that in the Hebrew, in the original language, 5-6 words at best is the sermon. And he goes and declares that, and quite honestly, it's not all that captivating. You're not going to teach a preaching class in seminary using Jonah as the model. Now, I know some of you would prefer if I would preach a six-word sermon. I hear you this morning, okay? It was eight in English, okay? You'll give me that, right? You'll give me the eight. And so Jonah does that. There's this great repentance. And I don't know about you, but if you've never read the story before, what you would expect, because Jonah runs, then he repents, and then he goes and preaches this message, then you would see at least some sort of, you know, even passive, okay, great, or some sort of approval or whatever it may be. But that's not at all what we find in Jonah chapter 4 this morning. And so Jonah chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, if you found your place, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, "Ah, Lord, was this not what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Then the Lord said, "Is it right for you to be angry?" So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat down in it in the shade till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm, and it so damaged the plant that it withered. And it happened, when the sun arose, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." Then God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" And he said, "It is right for me to be angry, even to death." But the Lord said, "You have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern their right hand and their left, and much livestock?" Let's pray. God, you're gracious and kind. I pray you would take the preaching of your word and use it for your glory. Hide me behind your cross. Fill me with your spirit. God, you be glorified. Give me every word to say, nothing more, nothing less. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And so we have this pursuit of the prophet's heart, this reaction, this passive excitement that you would think may even be there, because after all, he's repented and he has agreed to go. And God uses him in a great way. You would think, at least on some level, okay, yeah, thanks God, or man, that's exciting, or whatever the case may be. But that's not the reaction at all. Immediately, verse 1, like a cup of cold water being thrown on you, it says that it greatly displeased Jonah. He was mad. He was ticked off. And so the main idea of the text this morning, if you're taking notes, is that God cares about the attitude of your heart. God cares about the attitude of the heart. If you remember, as we walked through recently the Sermon on the Mount, that's the whole premise behind the Sermon on the Mount. The people that he was teaching, they were very familiar with the law. They were very familiar with knowing what is right and wrong according to the Word of God. And by the way, they were very good at fulfilling the letter of the law for the most part. They got it right a lot of times in terms of an outward appearance. But the whole Sermon on the Mount, the premise is that even if you fulfill the letter of the law, the real issue is the heart of the matter. Is your heart right in that? And so that's where Jesus talks about, hey, you may be having committed murder, but you're angry in your heart without a cause. You may have committed adultery, but you're lusting after someone. And he just walks through the line. That's the Sermon on the Mount. And here this morning, as we look at the text, and we see Jonah went and he was obedient in the letter of what God had sent him, but he had a major heart issue. And the question of the text really gives itself, is it right for you to be angry? Is it right for you to be angry? We humans are, we're emotional beings. God created us with emotions. It's the way He designed us. And that is a good thing. God created Adam and Eve. He created them with emotions. And He looked at them and said it was good. So emotions aren't the issue, but the emotion actually reveals something about us. How passionate, how intense you are about something tells us what you love, what you care about, what has deep intrinsic value to you. It stirs us up about something. That those emotions are reflective of that. It's a symptom of what you care about, or what stirs you up, what affects you, what bothers you. And those emotions in and of themselves are not wrong, but it's the root of those emotions that really is the issue we need to deal with this morning. And so we're primarily going to talk about anger because that's the emotion of chapter 4. That's the thrust of chapter 4 and God dealing with this anger that Jonah has. Now I realize none of you, maybe somebody did, walked in this morning just mad. Just upset at the world. I've shared with you before that's part of my story before salvation was I was just an angry person. And quite honestly, I had no reason to be. I didn't have a bad childhood. I wasn't abused. I mean, any more than having typical older brothers. I mean, you know, I could tell you some stories, but I wasn't abused. I wasn't mistreated. But there was still this deep root of anger in my heart and in my life. Now, when Jesus saved me, He set me free from that. That doesn't mean I don't still struggle with anger at times. I still don't get frustrated. But here's Jonah being used of God, really in spite of himself, in spite of some great message. And he's angry. And I wonder this morning, what do you get angry about? Are you angry this morning? We're really good at hiding it sometimes. Holding on to it, there's this deep underlying anger that we carry or emotion that reflects our heart. And so I would just ask you this morning, you may not have this ongoing issue of anger, but even examine in your own heart and in your own life, in the world of your profession, in the world of your life, what makes you angry? And based on that, what does that say about your heart? And then ask the question, is it right for you to be angry? Number one, anger reveals Jonah's heart. Anger reveals Jonah's heart. We're going to look at these first 9 verses and talk about Jonah and his anger primarily. But the Christ-centered exposition, Redmond, wrote this. He defined anger this way. Anger is the emotion you feel when your expectation of justice is not met. Anger is the emotion you feel when you expect a certain kind or a certain way, manner of judgment, and that's not met, either good or bad. And so when you get angry, you expected some sort of justice, something to be played out, and that did not happen, so that's the emotion, that's the anger. And so there are 5 truths a part of Jonah's anger that I want us to quickly just walk through and look at, and then we're going to finish with the truth about God. A, Jonah's heart was selfish. So this anger reveals 5 different aspects about Jonah's heart. First, it was selfish. Notice verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. What he become angry about? Because the Ninevites heard his message, and the whole city essentially repented and changed. So here they were. God said, go to Nineveh. I'm going to destroy them because they're exceedingly wicked, but I want you to go tell them first. And so he goes in and he tells them, 5 words, 6 words, whatever it is, however you want to count it. And the whole city repents. Now you think, being a prophet, being a man of God, that that would excite him. And I don't know a pastor or a preacher today that would not get excited about preaching a bad message, and 120,000 people, possibly more, gave their heart to Jesus, that they were changed. But essentially that's what happens here. But verse 2, so he prayed to the Lord and said, Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore, I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are gracious and merciful God, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. For those of you that have kids, you ever have one of your kids just get angry, and they go over there in the corner, or sit down on the ground, and they just throw themselves a good fit? I know it. None of your kids would do that, right? But they just throw them. None of you will admit it. Anybody remember doing that as a kid? Like just getting so up, you just frustrated and just throwing yourself a fit. That's what Jonah's doing. Here he is, he has preached the word of God, he has declared this message, they repent, and now he's angry, and he is so angry, he has turned himself and stared up at heaven and is in this blaming of God. Listen to his prayer again in verse 2. Oh Lord, was it not this what I said? I was still in my country. You know what he's saying? God, I told you this was going to happen. I knew it. And he goes on, therefore I fled previously to Tarshish. He's giving an excuse of why he ran. God, this is why I ran, because I knew you would do this. And he goes on, for I know that you are gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Not only, listen to the audacity. Some of you have been studying the book of Deuteronomy throughout your Sunday school. And if you remember, when God tells Moses, go in, and he declares, he asks God, God, I want to see you. And he says, no man can see God and live. And so God allows his goodness, his glory to pass by. And then he declares truth about himself. Exodus 34:6. Lord passed before him, proclaimed the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth. So when Moses wants to see God, God declares, he shows himself through declaring this truth about himself. Okay? So fast forward, Jonah is so upset, he is not only angry at what God did, he is then accusing God, saying, why didn't you listen to me? I said this was going to happen. This is why Randy's giving an excuse, and then he doesn't stop there. He accuses God of being good. He accuses God, you're just too nice. The audacity. He is ticked off. And then he continues on, verse 3. Therefore, because God, you're too nice, and you did what I knew you were going to do, so I did what I did. Kill me. Let me die. So hold on, Jonah. Because God is gracious and merciful. You knew He was going to do this, so you ran. But it's God's grace and mercy that brought you back. And then He extended grace and mercy to them, and now you want to die because He's too gracious and merciful. Yeah, pretty much. Here's the picture of selfishness in Jonah's life. The very grace and mercy of God Jonah experienced himself. He was mad that God showed it to somebody else. Don't answer out loud, but have you ever been there? God had mercy on you when you were out living like the world. But then when, and God rescued you, He mercifully, graciously showed His chesed, His loving kindness, richest word in the Hebrew language. He extended that to you. But now when you look around, you're ready for God to wipe people off the face of the earth. And when He doesn't, you question God. Jonah was selfish. James 1, 19 and 20. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. See, God had something to do in and through these people. The wrath of Jonah was, God, don't even warn them, just wipe them out. The grace and mercy of God said, they don't deserve it because I'm gracious and merciful and loving kind toward them. I'm going to give them an opportunity. And oh, by the way, Jonah, that's the same extension I've given you. And you look around, even today, you look around and go, why are they doing this? Why is God not wiping them out? Why is God not doing that? They deserve this. They deserve that. They deserve this. And the whole time, the God of all creation looking at you saying, you deserve this. You deserve that, but I have not wiped you out because He is gracious and merciful and kind, and His love abounds to generation after generation. Jonah's anger reveals his selfishness, and quite often, our anger reveals our selfishness. We get angry because somebody said something ugly to us or cut us off in traffic. And we tried to demand our own little space of the world, saying, I'm entitled to this. And the reality is, the only thing you and I are entitled to is the full wrath of God poured out on top of us, except for Jesus. Second truth from Jonah's heart. Jonah's heart was stubborn. Feels like an understatement, but he was stubborn. Verse 4. So Jonah says, I want to die. Then the Lord said, is it right for you to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city, sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade, till he might see what would become of the city. He's still mad. And he's upset. He's furious. Matter of fact, he is so upset he doesn't answer. Now, those of you who are married, maybe been married a while, your spouse comes home, and it's evident they're upset. And you ask, what's wrong? Two responses you don't want to hear. Nothing. The other response, I'm fine. Now, husbands, let me help you. Okay? I don't think we have any newlyweds here, but let me help you. If you hear nothing, Use your brain. There's something. If you hear I'm fine, you're on shaky ground, bub. Okay? But then there's a third response. Sweetie, what's wrong? And if she don't answer, ain't good, bub. It just ain't good. But here's what happens. Jonah is throwing himself a fit. God intervenes, interrupts his frustration, and asks him, is it right for you to be angry? And Jonah turns his back and walks outside, makes himself a little pity shelter, and sits down and watches. Does not even answer God. See, because when we get angry, there's this sense of entitlement that I deserve to be angry. I have a right to be angry. I feel this way for a reason, and it's my right. Let me hit pause and encourage you. You better stop living off your feelings. Because your heart and my heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all else. And your feelings will lead you astray every single time if you're not careful. And so he's this selfish. He's angry. He's selfish. Yeah, I deserve this. But then he's stubborn, saying, I'm entitled to this anger. And I'm not even going to answer God. He's the one that's done this. It's his fault. I'm not going to deal with this. And he is stubborn and he goes outside. And I'm not convinced. He's not sitting there just hoping and praying that God will go ahead and destroy them. Hoping and praying, come on, Nineveh, get it wrong. Come on, Nineveh, mess it up. And he is absolutely stubborn in his anger. Luke 23, and Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. What a contrast. Here's Jonah. He is upset. They've done nothing wrong to Jonah. They've not harmed Jonah. They've not done anything. They heard his message. They repented. He leaves. Yet here we have Jesus on the cross in Luke 23, and here they are crucifying him, and the people are literally have their hands on him, leading him to this death, and his prayer is, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. The contrast between a heart filled with anger and a heart filled with love. Jonah was stubborn. Third truth from his heart, Jonah's heart was shallow. It was shallow. Look at verse 6. If you mark or underline your Bible, I'm going to give you a couple things to mark here. I want you to notice. And the Lord God, here it is, prepared a plant. Mark or underline, prepared a plant. By the way, I hope this language rings familiar to you from chapter 1, where God prepares a fish to swallow Jonah. God is at work here, even before, without Jonah. Notice the hand of God. So then the Lord God prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah that it might be a shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. By the way, hit pause. Even in the midst of his anger, he's still able to show gratefulness. I want you to not misunderstand that even though you think, well, I'm not just sitting down throwing me a fit the whole time. I'm grateful for this, grateful for that. That doesn't mean, that's not necessarily an indication that you're not angry about something. You don't have this root of anger in your life. Verse 7, but as morning dawned the next day, mark underline this, God prepared a worm. And it so damaged the plant that it withered. Verse 8, and it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head, and so that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself, and he said, it is better for me to die than to live. Did you catch how shallow Jonah's heart is? Here he is. He's angry. God was loving and merciful. He's religiously cussing out God, essentially, in his prayer. God comes to confront him. He won't even answer. He goes out on this hillside to watch it. He has tried to build some sort of shelter. Yet God says, okay, he raises up this plant. Yeah, it's giving relief. It's God's mercy to Jonah. God's grace giving him what he doesn't deserve. He is in the midst of his anger. God raising up this plant gives him this shade. He is thankful. Yay, I've got some relief. Yet in the middle of the night, God prepares a worm and destroys it. And he turns the heat up a little bit, literally. Jonah throws himself a fit and says, I'd rather die. Goes even further, said, it'd be better for me to die than to live. It's better. God, it's hot out here. It's miserable. You're having mercy on those people. They're wicked. They didn't even worship you until I got here. Yet God prepared all of it. Why? Because he wanted to show Jonah how shallow his heart is. Jonah was more upset that he lost a plant, he lost shade, than he was if 120,000 plus individuals had died and went to hell. You have the contrast again in Luke 19 with Jesus in verse 41. Luke 19:41, now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, If you had known, even you, especially in this day, the things that make for your peace, but now you are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you and your children with you to the ground. And they will not leave you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. Notice the vast contrast between the two, that here's Jonah sitting outside the city hoping that maybe God will change his mind, or they'll get it wrong, something will happen and destroy that city. God raises up this plant that comes up in a night and dead the next day. And Jonah's far more upset about that than he is about if God had wiped out the Ninevites. Anger will reveal how shallow your heart is. What's the last thing you were angry over? How much anger have you experienced over the last 5 or 6 seasons as a Razorback football fan? Or basketball, or some major league team? How angry were you about this restaurant closing or this one opening up? Or but when was the last time you got angry thinking, there's another name in the obituary, there's another funeral home that's full of cars, and I wonder if anybody told them about Jesus? Now look, we'll be really careful. I'm not looking for any extra meetings, okay? When was the last time that after whatever event it was, whatever thing we did as a church family, that you were bothered by maybe a lack of individuals repenting of their sins and placing their faith and trust in Christ. When's the last time you're upset that we did not start a service or end a service with a baptism? When's the last time you were upset that Vacation Bible School only had a handful of kids that weren't ours, or Vacation Bible School, we had virtually no students repent and be saved? When was the last time you heard the report of the Southern Baptist Convention go, man, we continue to decline in baptism numbers? But let KFC get our order wrong in about 45 minutes, and we'll walk in there and be undignified. Lastly, in Jonah's anger, Jonah's heart was self-righteous. Self-righteous, verse 9. Then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? So God asked him again, just gives him a little more specific direction, at least this time. And notice Jonah, and he said, it is right for me to be angry even to death. Listen to how self-righteous Jonah is. What do you mean, God? It's absolutely right for me to be angry. I'm so angry I want to die, and I'm right in that. I deserve that. I'm entitled to that. His anger has blinded him so significantly that even when God asked him for the second time, is it right? I mean, don't you think, like, listen, you remember raising your kids and you ask them a question and they get the answer wrong and you don't even correct them? Maybe they don't answer. You ask a second time. Normally, even your kids figured out, all right, mom's asking me a second time. I know I didn't get it right the first time. I got to go with a different answer. I got to come up with something else. Let me encourage you. If God asks you a question a second time, you didn't get it right the first time. Okay, I didn't do extremely well on tests. I'm not good at being quizzed, but I could get that much. And the second time God asked him, is it right for you to be angry? And he pokes his chest out and said, it is absolutely right for me to be angry. He declares himself self-righteous. I deserve better. That's oftentimes what we get most angry about, right? I deserve better. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. God can and will use you until you begin to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. And so, anger reveals Jonah's heart. And then number two, love reveals God's heart. He reveals what he cares most about. Verse 10. But the Lord said, you've had pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which we are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock? He's saying, you're upset over a plant that you had nothing to do with. I prepared it. And I took it away. And I made it hot. You're upset. Why did God do those things? Trying to reveal Jonah's heart to him, to himself. God already knew they didn't have a right to be angry. God already knew that he was angry. But God's trying to reveal to Jonah and to the rest of us the real depth, the real issue here with Jonah's heart. And then he finishes saying, look, here you are angry about this, but let me tell you what stirs me up is a city full of people who don't yet know me. Because the love of God reveals his heart. Let me encourage you this morning. God cares infinitely more about you than he does some plant or animal. You are the object of his love. Men, women, boys and girls spending eternity in heaven is what God cares about. What matters to God. The depth of the relationships that you have around you, this church family, other local churches, are the object of God's love. So he ends with this question. Should I not pity Nineveh? Should I not have mercy on them? So, dear friend, how do we end this? Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God loves you. God cares for you. Those of you who maybe have never repented of your sins and placed your faith and trust in Christ, Jesus wants to wash your sins away, past, present, and future. But those of you that hear this morning saying, you know what, Brother Chris, I'm struggling with anger. Maybe it's past experiences. Maybe it's from childhood. Maybe if it's even anger that has been stirred up, unfortunately, here at church. My admonishment to you, my encouragement, my pleading with you is confess that before the Lord. He already knows. Say, God, forgive me. Help me to deal with this. I give it to you. I really do believe there's something special about just being still before the Lord and saying, God, I confess this and I give it to you. I don't want any more of it. Just an act of obedience. You may even say, I don't even know what that means. How do I go about tomorrow? But listen, just faithfully and obedient, say, God, I give this to you. I don't want it anymore. And you know what? You wake up tomorrow and you find yourself angry and struggling again. You know what you do? God, I confess this is sin. I give it to you. I don't want it anymore. And you keep doing that until God really sets you free and you stop picking it up and you stop carrying it anymore. And the Lord will work in you and through you in that if you'll allow Him. So God pursues throughout the book of Jonah. I want to finish with just a snippet. I want to think about this book in a larger context. See, Nineveh was a very significant city amongst a prominent people, the Assyrians. And later, after this, if you remember, the Israelites are divided into two different kingdoms, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And the northern kingdom falls. And guess who they fall victim to? The Assyrians. Now, why does that matter? Now, I want you to think about this. Here you are, God's chosen people. You're reading about this story of Jonah. You've heard about it. Now you're reading about it. You're studying this. Whatever it is, you're learning this story. And here's what you have to process. God, here I am in captivity, or maybe those that came after captivity. My ancestors, my mother and father, my grandparents, whoever it is, they were in captivity. because Assyria took us over. And now here I am, I'm reading the book of Jonah, and I see God pursuing the Ninevites, and had he not done that, they may have been wiped out, and God would have, they would have never fallen victim to the northern kingdom, or the northern kingdom wouldn't have fallen victim to them. And I want to end here because I want to challenge your worldview. Because this is the mercy and kindness of God. That He even has mercy on a people who were the enemy of His children. Let me set it in a little more difficult context. We certainly as America are not the Israelites. But what if right now God is having mercy on a group of people who may end up destroying America? What does that do to your view of God? Now listen to me. I'm not saying that's happening. I don't have the slightest idea. I'm not God. I'm just telling you, as a Jew reading this, they are reading saying God had mercy on a group of people who was a vital part of the Assyrians who took my ancestors captive. That's the equivalent of looking back, you know, your children, your grandchildren, reading in a history book where God was right now having some mass revival in Iran that later comes and overruns America, and reading and going, God had mercy on them at this time. I just need you to get a bigger picture of who God is, that He is merciful and gracious and kind. And it doesn't matter to what people or what nation, none of us deserve it. That's why it's mercy. That's why it's grace. Let's pray. God, You're gracious and kind and merciful. And I pray this morning that You would work in our heart and in our life. I pray, God, if there's anybody here that has never trusted in You, God, that they would repent and place their faith and trust in You today. God, I pray for those that are struggling with anger, sin. That God, You give them grace this morning to release that, to give it unto You, Lord Jesus. God, help us to be obedient to You. You main attitude of prayer, if you'd say, Brother Chris, I need to decide today, follow Jesus. For the first time, I need to repent, believe on Him. Here in just a moment, I'm gonna pray, and then you're going to come. I'll find somebody to go counsel with you. One of our counselors will go and just visit with you. Just talk to you about what that is and what it looks like. Maybe some of you need to release some anger this morning. Some of these other things you identify with too many characteristics of Jonah. You just need to confess that this morning. When I pray, you come and get in this altar if you need to. Make an altar right where you're at. However the Lord stirred your heart this morning, you be obedient to Him. God, I pray in these next few moments, God, we would step out and be obedient to You. We pray this in Jesus' name. If you need to come and pray, you can come. Need somebody to pray with you, I'd love to pray with you. You need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, you come. Thank you. Lord, thank you for your love and your kindness, your mercy. And God, you're so gracious. Lord, I pray we'd leave here today, God, even a greater view of you and who you are. And Lord, just love and praise and adore you. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.